Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Morning, everybody. Happy Monday. And what a weekend it was. Oh, my God. Did you end up going to see a movie, Jeffrey? You said you were going to, but you didn't.
Yeah, we thought about it Friday, but then one of my college buddies was running the 10K on Saturday, so he came in from out of town, and I just went and hung out with him.
Shout out to everybody who competed in the St. Jude Marathon or any of the various races. That's a spectacular event and was, again, on Saturday. I guess I would not have imagined, Jeffrey, and I'm not going to, you know, we stick strictly to sports here on this show. I wouldn't have imagined that the Assad regime in Syria would fall before they caught the killer in New York.
Yeah,
people were putting money on it, like
I
last
think that's
Wednesday,
a pretty big upset, yeah.
That's an upset.
Yeah.
Like, that dude is still on the run.
Yeah, in terms of likelihood,
In terms of likelihood, Assad falls, or they catch the guy who is on video shooting someone in Midtown Manhattan.
And then we got, like, the full facial with him flirting with the hostile.
Raising.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, but, yeah, we had... And now they're releasing photos. In each photo, it appears like he's wearing a different jacket.
Yeah.
Different jacket. I and it's impossible, of course, it's a sad someone died, but it is impossible not to be caught up in the mystery of it, right? Like in the mystery of it. Like, think about all the true crime podcasts that have
Killer on the Run is like
and literally a killer on the run.
Like, that's a genre.
Who did it? We all presume, although we'll find out, to take revenge on the insurance industry, and then they find his backpack in Central Park, and it is filled with Monopoly money. Jeffrey, what is the message there? What is happening there?
I have no idea.
I was talking to Fishman there. Is he taunting? He's like, he's taunting the police. I don't think he's taunting the police or mocking the police. He is having fun with the police, right? He's mocking the insurance. Presumably the Monopoly money refers to the money that insurance companies make on...
Yes.
Isn't that what you imagine?
That would be my guess.
As someone pointed out, hope that he, you know, kept with him the get-out-of-jail-free card.
I will say, though...
It's mostly just jokes.
It's one of those big stories, though, that I never really got I haven't really got all that wrapped up in
it. You haven't followed it?
No. Oh. I mean, I know like when big details come out.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I don't read everything, but I know whenever.
But like, this is not one of those stories that like I can't get enough of. You know what I mean? Right. And I'm not even.
Well, I've seen. I've sort of somewhat. You know, I've seen videos of the freeing of prisoners in Syria going into the prison there that it had been the subject of so much. Torture and terror, and going into his palace,
yeah,
his abandoned palace. I've looked at those videos, and so I've sort of followed both of those stories over the weekend to some extent. But there was so much sports going on that it was. I mean, again, it's one of these Mondays when I got no idea how we will begin to pack it all into 2 hours. We will do the fight song roundup. In the next segment, we will have Chris Harrington on straight up at 10 o'clock to talk to us about the Grizzlies. But in terms of the biggest sports stories of the week, Jeffrey, and I'm going to leave out the NFL because it shall not be mentioned today, hopefully. Are you more drawn to good news, to bad news, or to controversy? Because I think in terms of where we're going to start today, we have good news to talk about, we have bad news to talk about, and we have controversy to talk about.
I think let's start with controversy.
You want to start with controversy?
I think so.
Do you find yourself generally more drawn to controversy than good news or bad news? Normally, you're tell me the bad news guy.
Yeah, but that's not because I'm drawn to it. That's just let's just get it over with. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, the controversy, such as it is, although you know, it is. We're obviously talking about the 12-team playoff bracket, which is now set. That is where the controversy would be, such as there is. But it's interesting because even the controversy is muted because there's no one who was left out who doesn't have to look in the mirror and say, I did it to myself.
Yes.
So they're fine that there is controversy, all of this. But again, and people will always say, well, if you go from a 2-team playoff to a 4-team playoff, you'll just argue about who's left out at 5. Or if you go to 5 to a 12, you'll just like who's left out at 13. Or if you go, that's true. But the bigger the field, the less you care about whoever the hell is left out.
The weaker the case.
The weaker a case, right. Yeah. And once you get to 12, anyone who was left out has to look and say, plenty of chances, did it to myself. Doesn't mean the decision was right. We can get into that. But that is what it means, is that, and obviously we're talking mostly about Alabama here, because Alabama was the one that was left out. I was on Jason and John's show last week, and I was explaining that I thought if SMU lost, that SMU would get in. And Alabama would be left out.
You were right.
I'm not the kind of guy to say I told you so, though. So far be it from me to say
I
told you so.
I do think it would have been
totally mattered on how it played out.
I would say, I do 100%. Think the fact that they came back, I think if it stays, what was it, like 28-7 or 31? Like, had it
100%.
Been, had it been the blowout, I do think you're 100% right. The fact that they came storming back and even tie the game up, I'm with you.
At one point, it was 31-14.
Yeah.
And had it remained 31-14, I think Alabama would have been in and SMU would have been out. Don't you agree?
I think that's probably
where
it was headed.
They came back and then lost. You're going to leave them out because of a 56-yard walk-off field goal? That's why you're going to leave them out? Like, I do think the way it played out was absolutely critical to who is in and who is out. And if you want to look at the bracket, congratulations, by the way, to Tennessee, which is the one local team that made it. If you want to look at the bracket, I think there are two objections that you're hearing, and you're hearing them largely from SEC folks, right? Mostly. But the objections are who got in, A, and how they were seeded, B, right? And
it seems like to me the biggest one, though, is seeding, right?
Yeah, but I link them in this way.
All right.
I don't think there is an argument that the 12 best teams got in And I don't think that those are the best 12 teams in the land. And I don't think there is an argument that the four top seeds are the four best seeds in the land.
Yeah.
That argument is even weaker than the first argument.
I don't really see a ton of people arguing that, though.
Right. No one is. But it's very clear. If the goal here was to simply reward the best teams, that was not achieved.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think, listen, we just saw Clemson lose to South Carolina at home.
Clemson lost three times.
They lost to Clemson.
They lost twice in blowout fashion, and they lost at home to their bitter rival.
I think Alabama, South Carolina, and Ole Miss are all three among the best 12 teams in the country.
Yep, I agree.
And they were all left out.
Yeah.
And so if the
only one of them even kind of had a remote shot.
I mean, yeah, right. Only one had a remote shot. Pretty good shot, actually, right. As we point out. If the goal had been, and if your standard is, have we picked the best teams, they very clearly failed. Similarly, if the standard is, have we created a bracket where we've rewarded the best teams with buys? Well, that's crazy. Of course not. You've got Oregon at one, and you've got Georgia at two, but then you have buys. You've got Arizona State with a bye, and you've got Boise State with a bye. And I don't think anyone would argue that those are the third or fourth best teams in the land. And so, again, if the goal was to reward the best teams, you failed. I don't think that's the goal.
Well, I mean, that wasn't the stated goal. I mean,
the goal is to.
I think once you basically announce, like, we're giving it to the five conference champions.
Yeah, you're basically saying that's not our priority.
Correct.
Our priority is, sure, in the end, we want to pick the best team to be the champion, but we want to do it with a format that creates interest in college football all across the country.
Yep.
And that sustains interest in college football in lesser conferences, in places like the Mountain West, and in the diminished Big 12. And so, no, of course you don't have the 12 best teams in the country, and nor are you rewarding the four best teams with seeding. What you're doing is we're trying to pick the best team ultimately, but we want to do it with a system that creates interest across the country in college football.
Yeah.
That is what their intention was. And from that perspective, I don't think you can argue against it. Indeed, it is sort of interesting. Had they seeded by purely who's the best team, there's a piece over in The Athletic where they talk about this today, okay?
Yep.
Right now, here are your first round games.
Okay.
Clemson at Texas, SMU at Penn State, Indiana at Notre Dame, Tennessee at Ohio State. Interesting, right?
We got the Battle of Indiana. You got
Battle of Indiana.
Two Battle of the Brands.
You got massive brands in Tennessee and Ohio State.
Yep, massive brands in Texas and Clemson.
You got SMU at Penn State, which is the least interesting just because no one really believes that SMU is that good, right?
I think Notre Dame, Indiana is the least interesting.
You think it's the least interesting because you think Notre Dame's going to crush Indiana. Uh-huh. And then you've got Clemson and Texas, two brands.
Yeah.
Again, two other bets. Those are really interesting. If you'd done it purely by quality, you might have had the following: Clemson at Notre Dame, Arizona State at Ohio State, SMU at Tennessee, and Boise State at Indiana. And then you would have thought SMU's going to get run out by Tennessee, Arizona State's going to get run out by Ohio State. Maybe not, but I actually think you've created a more interesting first round by, yes, forcing some of these teams into the first round, whereas maybe they would have deserved to get a bye.
Yeah, it's not like this was a surprise. We knew this was going to happen. We knew the way that it was set up.
I think you just have to, before you get too ticked off about it, you have to just understand what the goal was, right? And the goal was, yes, to pick the best team. And weirdly enough, this is a year when that team that's 12, those teams that are left out, the three teams that are left out, I think all of them could have done damage. Like, this is not a year when there's, maybe we shouldn't estimate how good Oregon has been because they've been really good, but this doesn't feel like a year where there's this colossus that is impossible. You know, Georgia, for all, my God, that defense was unbelievable Saturday, but they've had their ups and downs this year.
Absolutely.
They're not unbeatable. So who's unbeatable? So you could have imagined Ole Miss going on a run or South Carolina going on a run or Alabama going on a run had they made it.
For sure.
They were left out. But again, I think you have to look at the goal of this playoff system. And I think by that, they did accomplish it. No one will argue, I don't think, that if SMU played Alabama on a neutral, I saw what? Favored by seven?
At least,
six,
yeah, it's probably touched.
Whatever. Yeah. Alabama's finished. Yeah.
I mean, I was doing it based on power ratings, and that's about what it would be.
It is interesting, though, that one of the things that was very clear is they did not punish the losers of the championship games. You had Penn State losing a championship game and Texas losing a championship game and SMU losing a championship game. SMU stayed in the field, and both Texas and Penn State, for example, stayed ahead of Notre Dame.
Yep.
And no one dropped more than two spots for losing in a championship game because they had to play an extra game and they don't want to devalue the championship game.
Yep. Even Iowa State, which got blown out.
And so then you have Saban and others, yes. And then you have Saban and others who are saying, well, you know what this is going to do? This is going to force Alabama to not play such a salty non-conference schedule. It's going to devalue. They played Western Kentucky, USF, and a 5-7 Wisconsin team. Alabama did not get left out because of their non-conference schedule.
No, Alabama got left out because of their conference schedule.
They got left out because of their conference schedule. And I don't think they can decline to play their conference schedule.
No, and like two of their three losses were two of the weaker teams.
So anyway, we'll do more of this in the fight song roundup when we get to that in the next segment. All right, we'll go to the we'll go from the controversy. We'll go to the bad news, Jeffrey.
Right.
And the bad news, of course, is the Memphis Tigers suffer ignominious defeat at the hands of Arkansas State, losing to Arkansas State yesterday for the first time since 1999. It was a truly, truly dreadful effort from the Memphis Tigers, a effort that had everybody thinking about last year. It was a loss to an Arkansas State team that was 167th in the net. People can say, oh, yeah, it's a pretty good team. They're picked to win the conference. Sure, they just lost to Rice.
Yeah.
You know, they just lost to Hofstra. And they barely beat Jacksonville State. And by the way, they didn't even play that well. It's not like they came in and absolutely lit it up.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was bombs away from three.
Oh,
yeah.
They hit 27 of 36 threes. What are you going to do? No. They shot 36% from the field for the day.
Yep.
Shot 33% from three. And they were up by 18 in the second half. Holy smokes, what a dud. I was listening to Jason and John because I'm a loyal listener. And I was listening to them last week, and Jermaine Johnson was on, and he was great. And I hope this team goes on to, they stubbed their toe, and I hope they go on to prove that everyone. Jermaine Johnson was like, you know, it doesn't matter who you play, you just got to carry the mail. You're just like, you're a mail carrier, you know? You show up, no rain or snow or sleet or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You punch your ticket, and you carry the mail. It didn't occur to me when I was listening to him. No mail on Sundays, Jeffrey.
It's a fair point.
That was the problem.
I saw you put that on Twitter.
Yeah. And they did not carry the mail yesterday. They did not. They saw the stack of mail there, and they said, yeah, never mind. Don't think I'll do that. 20 turnovers, 9 assists. How's that? 9 assists, 20 turnovers. They're out-rebounded by Arkansas State, 44-40. It's like they didn't care. I mean, it was ugly.
Because I think that was actually the hardest part about watching the game was you knew they were getting beat, but you couldn't really put your finger on it because it wasn't, I don't know, to me, it wasn't like, oh, Arkansas State's coming in and they're playing out of their mind. They just played fine. Like, they were sloppy with the basketball, but they've been sloppy with the basketball. It was tough for me to identify exactly why they were getting blown out, other than you simply have to chalk it up to the effort wasn't there.
I mean, that was it. The effort was not there. As Penny said, it was weird today, man. It just seemed like they thought we were going to win. They're not out there trying not to play. It just seems like they thought at any moment we're just going to turn it on and we're going to win. And that's not how the game works. Of course, it is of recent vintage, a little bit much too much how the game worked. After the recent run of successes, it was pointed out that Penny, since 2001-22, 16-2 against Power Conference foes.
Yeah, I think that was Mark's number.
That's great. But let's be honest, there has been a problem getting this team up for playing crappy opposition. And that was true all through conference play last year, and it was true again yesterday. And it does a huge amount of damage. It just does a huge amount of damage. That's what's so unfortunate about it. The good work that you did in Maui, both in building your resume, in getting ranked, in winning over skepticism, in all of that, you just throw it away by not showing up to play. Now, of course they have opportunities, and that's the good news here. They've got Clemson coming up. They've got Virginia, and then you're home with games against Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Virginia, actually, right now they're 125 in the net, so
yeah.
that's not a potential to make hay. But the other three are all top 30 games in the net, and so yes, you have huge opportunities there.
Well, and you hat tip to Missouri for getting a big win like that.
Oh yeah,
that
helps you magnificent. Too. Yeah. Missouri beats Kansas. UConn beats UConn's the teams that you have beaten. It should have been a great weekend, and now you should be heading into Clemson game with great momentum, feeling fabulous about yourself, and instead, this happened. So the question is this like last year? Is this deja vu? Penny was asked that, and Penny does not subscribe to the deja vu theory. It's just one game, man, Hardaway said. I'm a veteran now. There's no such thing to me as deja vu. If you don't come to play, then you're not going to win. I know everybody can kind of use that narrative because of what happened last year. This is a totally different team. We've been playing good ball, and I'm not going to panic after one loss. Went on to say along the same lines, I'm a totally different guy. Last year, my mom was fighting cancer. I had so much stuff going on. Now I'm locked in with a free mind. We're healthier mentally and physically. We have a really good team, and we can turn around whenever we want it. I went on to say, we have enough guys that can guard, even though we didn't do it today. And we have enough guys that take pride and will say, okay, we lost this game, but we'll bounce back. So there was Penny, who was rejecting any sense that this is like last year. And let's hope it's not. Here's the truth. Teams have bad games.
Absolutely.
And if the Memphis Tigers are going to play 20 games, because their conference stinks, right, where they're supposed to win handily,
yes.
Right? I just picked that number. They would lose two of them.
Just, likely.
Just anyone would, right? Like, unless you're somehow are so capable of being dialed in to give your best effort every night, or so overwhelmingly more talented. And this team, by the way, it is talented, but it's not over. This is not 2008.
Cal, yeah,
you know, they got Derrick Rose, for God's sake, and Joey Dorsey inside. And they don't got multiple pros that are just going to overwhelm you with talent. So there will come games that you will lose that you're not supposed to lose. That's just true. It's part of the challenge of this Memphis Tiger basketball team now that they have this schedule. They're going to play a lot of games, and you're going to lose some of them. So you're going to lose some games, and everyone's like, you shouldn't lose that game. The problem is, this one came really early. You know, this is not after winning the first, you know, nine games of conference play, and then you stub your toe. This came awfully early. And then I guess we'll see whether it's like last year or not. One bad sign yesterday was that the players blew off media. Now, they did the radio, but what happens is after wins and losses over in the Memphis Tiger basketball program, but every team does this, they pick two or three players who come to the podium and talk. And you talk after wins, and you talked after losses. So what happened last year after the UAB loss did not come. No players wanted to talk. He said, screw you, screw that. We don't need to talk. And in that, there's people say, there's evidence of the lack of accountability. not a bunch of stand-up guys, not willing to, you know, to face the heat in difficult moments, maybe dysfunctional. Like that last year was evidence, and it was accurate evidence of dysfunction. So what was yesterday? And I'll be honest, I don't put that much stock in it. It's a bad look. It's a bad look. And, but you know who I put that on?
Oh, yeah, head coach.
I put it on, it's a head coach. It's the head coach. And that, to me, is the in the end, you want a program that does things the right way. In all things, right? Whether it has to do with the NCAA and recruiting or the way that they practice or the way that they run the team during the game. And like you want a team that does things the right way. The expectation should be laid down by the head coach. This is the way we do things. And that's a failure. Yeah, I actually imagine the players just slipped off. Like the message was, they're gone, right? Well, someone has to be able. Someone in that program has to tell them. And I wasn't there. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But someone in that program has to tell them, this is part of the obligation. You don't go anywhere until you've done this.
Yeah.
And I think it is. To me, the worrisome part isn't that it's dysfunctional inside and there's
the lack of organization.
And there's schism. It's a lack of. It's honestly not a lack of accountability from the players. It's a lack of accountability and organization on the part of the program.
Yep.
And does that then spill over into, I don't know, is there any connection? Now, again, you're going to lose games. And by the way, let's give Ryan Silverfield gets ripped for never winning games he's not supposed to win. But every game he does win, it's like, they were supposed to win that one. It's not that easy to win every game you're supposed to win. Penny loses a lot of them. I do have to give Ryan, like, this year, there was one game. What do you think about Navy? What do we call Navy?
I think Navy was a horrible spot.
Yeah, so there was one game.
And Navy had, their quarterback was healthy at that point, yep. And like they came off a bye.
So there's one game where Memphis football came up empty.
Yeah.
Right? And I have to say, I think that's, just from a human perspective, that's forgivable. And almost to be expected. There's too many of them where Memphis basketball comes up empty. Last year there was.
But
and now,
it's,
again,
to your point, though, it's almost like they're both polar opposites. It's like Penny is going to give you some
funny.
Big wins.
He gives you the big wins.
You're going to have bad losses with them. But it's almost the opposite with Ryan. It's like you're not going to get the big, big wins.
Right.
But you're also not going to have the Saturdays where you're like, what the hell happened there?
Tim Buckley wrote a column, The Daily Memphian, and you can read Parth's story there where it has all of Penny's quotes come from Parth's story. And Tim in his column says, not time to panic. And I agree with that. It's not time to panic. It is time to lament. You know, it is lamentable, and it is time to worry a little bit. I think mostly you just lament that happened. And then also it's like, okay. For those of you who've been holding out, who've been declining to jump on the bandwagon, it looks like that was somewhat validated. But it is not time to panic. And obviously, if they go out and beat Clemson, you know, all is forgiven. They'll be ranked again.
Yeah, I always kind of come back to, it's kind of the Nick Saban of, what do you do with a loss?
Yep.
And I know technically they lost to Auburn, but I'm putting that kind of in a different category. This is a different type of loss.
All right, so we've hit the controversy. We've hit the bad news, and now the good news. My God, that was a trip by the Grizzlies. Holy smokes. Could you have asked for anything more? What an unbelievable. What do we got for highlights? Tell me what we're going to play here.
So we're going to play Jaws reverse dunk, Jaren's three. This is from Saturday.
Okay.
Because I really thought the story of Saturday was Ja and Jaren.
Yeah, they were unbelievable.
And then also I thought another big part of that is Dez hit a big, big shot.
That was a massive shot. Dez was quiet until late in that game. Here's a little from Saturday night.
from Saturday night.
Baseline hangs. Bane off his fingertips. Step back. Pump fake the left wing three game from Morant. Morant drives baseline. Hangs. Oh, the reverse jam. There's the dunk. There's the highlight. And hear the oohs and ahs as Ja Morant, like a rocket, fired off the ground and throws it back with a reverse dunk. Straight highlight reel stuff right there. Grizzlies going left to right. Pippen kicks to the right wing. Jackson, open three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Grizzlies by eight. Jaren Jackson Jr. with nine. Pippen picks up the assist. Kicks top of the arc. Jackson. He'll work in on Cornette. No, he stops and fires a three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. The Grizzlies back up by six. Just like that, after the Celtics had gone on an 8-0 run to take the lead, the Grizzlies have come all the way back and pushed the lead to six. Bane with the screen on his right from Clark. He'll launch a deep three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Desmond Bane with a long three. 122-115. Three possession lead for the Grizz.
That's it for Saturday night. Massive win. Grizzlies win 127-121. They had lost 16 of their last 17 to the Celtics and, of course, had not won there since 2013. Massive performance. Ja was, from the jump, electric. You could just tell. And they, and Pete and Bravin kept commenting on it. Like, there was a different kind of energy from Ja against the Celts. 32-9-9. He said he wouldn't dunk. He did dunk. You know why he dunked? Because he felt like he had to.
Yeah.
Porzingis was right there.
Yes.
So he had to do the double pump dunk. And did. Fabulous dunk. 34 minutes, by the way, from Ja. 34 minutes from Jaren as the Grizzlies win that one in the Marcus Smart return game. The Marcus Smart return game was a nice sentimental moment for Marcus Smart, but then the game started. He went 1 of 11, and at the down the stretch, whereas normally they've been closing with Marcus Smart and Santi Aldama, here he went with Brandon Clark and Jake LaRavia. Marcus Smart was not playing well. It may have been the stage, may have been the moment, may have been whatever. Totally understandable. Massive win from the Grizzlies. And so then they go and they got the back-to-back and they're playing the Wizards. And they merely win 140-112. 140-112. They didn't have Ja. They didn't have Bane. They didn't have Edie. They didn't have Vince. They didn't have Gigi. They didn't have Luke. And the bench was absolutely on fire. 76 points. And that's a deep bench after the guys on the bench had already been in place and pressed in service as starters.
Yes.
Right? Like, you were without Ja and Bane and Edie and Vince and Gigi and Luke. And the bench still scored 76 points. 50 field goals, 34 assists on those 50 field goals. This is actually a direct contrast. Like, mind you, the Wizards are horrible.
Yes.
The Wizards are worse than Arkansas State in terms of in their own leagues, right? Like, you know
what
I mean?
They have three wins.
They are not a credible opponent at this point. But still, this is what you're supposed to do when you play a lesser team. The Grizzlies absolutely crushed them. Cam Spencer on fire. 14 points from Cam Spencer. Jaren was the one of the three stars who played. He merely scored 21 points in 17 minutes. Oh, my God, he's been good. And then we had this little moment. Do we have Yuki?
We do, Jeff.
We got a Yuki moment.
Rebounded by Wells. He took it away from Champagne. Wells on the step through. Gives it for Kalamura. Kalamura picked up by Bagley. Kalamura step back three over Bagley on the way. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Yuki Kalamura with a three from the right side. 140-110.
DC, Yuki mania. The crowd, by the way,
was nuts.
The crowd in Boston reacting to the Ja dunk.
Yes.
You know, that's not their guy, but you couldn't help but like just audibly react to it.
Correct.
And then the crowd with the Yuki step back three over Bagley.
They got what they wanted.
They got what they wanted. All right. We're going to do the fight song roundup when we turn. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Before that, I will tell you, if you are selling your house, call Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty. 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. You may have had a friend who's like tried to sell their house before, and it just sits and sits and sits and sits and sits and sits and sits. Another reason to call Josh Hysa. Corey hires Josh, and was worried about the same thing. And Josh made it clear, if he can't find a buyer, he will buy your house himself for full market value. Means a lot, particularly in this tricky market. It is Josh Hysa and the team at Keller Williams, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. When we return, Fight Song Roundup, we'll do that next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinking Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, let's do the Fight Song Roundup. Yeah, Tennessee is the one local school that has made the playoff, and so we honor Tennessee for getting it done. They'll be going to Ohio State, Jeffrey, to play the Buckeyes in the most interesting first-round game.
I think so.
I just saw this. Ohio State is reserving 3,500 seats for
it's not even like conference level, like
100,000 out of like, it's like, holy smokes. I do think, like, people are asking Josh Heupel about the weather, and like, it's, this is not, you know, Tennessee is not Boca Raton.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee, Knoxville gets cold. Like, they have cold games. Like, if Florida were playing there, I would feel a little differently, because I did think my call the weekend was Tulane looked cold against Memphis.
I thought you did. You had a nice weekend.
We had a nice 6-3 weekend. Could have been better, but you know, we had a nice weekend.
Tulane looked cold against Memphis, they look really cold against
so
Army.
So cold.
Cold will do that to you, man. Cold will 100%. I was the whole, even, you know what, yesterday's miserable rain.
Well, it helped. Yes, the rain.
That was depressing.
You throw that in there. But it also helped that it was cold for us last week, because I realized how worthless I was in wanting to never go outside, wanting to never do anything.
Oh, and it helped you with your picks.
Yes, absolutely. It's like,
Shout out to Josh Heupel for getting him there. That hire was met with, I would say, lukewarm enthusiasm.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the time it was like obvious. Like, okay, they probably got their fourth pick or fifth pick.
And interesting matchup, because you can say the Tennessee defensive line and defense is going to destroy that troubled Ohio State offensive line, right?
Yes.
You can also say that the Ohio State defensive line and defense is going to wreak havoc on Ole Miss, on Tennessee's offense.
And on top of that, what we have seen is when Ryan Day has that really bad Michigan loss, like, one of his best coaching jobs was right after that, when they went to go play Georgia, they lose on the field goal at the end. But
and Heupel has the road game thing. You know, he's not. Fascinating game.
It is funny, though. It felt like once we got to yesterday, it's like Tennessee, which I think was getting pre-mad early, you know, kind of early November. It felt like that was like one of the least drama, like the least dramatic moments. Yeah.
Tennessee and. But that's because Tennessee did what it had to do. Tennessee didn't. Tennessee took care of business, and Ole Miss, had they taken care of business, they would be in too. So there you go. Shout out to the Vols. Next. It's been an adventure for Georgia this year, you know? Got crushed by Ole Miss, lost to Alabama, barely escaped Kentucky.
Barely escaped Georgia Tech.
8 overtimes versus Georgia Tech.
UMass scored on them.
And then you got to play the SEC championship game with Gunnar Stockton.
Yeah.
What a name. What a name. Gunnar Stockton coming in to spark you before the stupid interception.
Yeah, I thought it was important that everybody saw more than just the first drive of Gunnar Stockton. Because that first drive, you're coming in thinking, you're like, have they been playing the wrong guy?
Right.
But then when you saw the rest of it, it's like, listen, man, if your name's going to be Gunner, you can't be Captain Checkdown.
Yes, but on literally the first time you've ever played meaningful, you might be Captain. That's when you might be Captain.
But he wasn't Captain. That's the thing, though. He came out firing.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, maybe.
But it was the defense that was the show, obviously. 6 sacks, 3 turnovers. It was astounding. 15 tackles for loss. 15 times tackled for loss. Just unbelievable. And this is a Georgia team. Like, you can talk about the unfairness of Alabama's schedule versus SMU's schedule or whatever. How about the unfairness of Georgia's schedule versus Texas's schedule? Like,
This is kind of what I was thinking about. Like, I know at times Georgia's also kind of held to an unfair standard. How many teams do we really think would be 11-2 with their schedule?
I mean, maybe Oregon, maybe Ohio State, maybe. Like, whatever, maybe. 6 games against top 15 opponents, only one of them at home.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Texas, which has been number 2 all year long, has not beaten a single top 25 team.
Correct.
And 3 of their last 4 games on offense, Texas scored 20, 17, and 19 points.
And 19 was an overtime.
Yeah, and the 19 was an overtime. Etienne was really good, obviously.
I thought what was big is they in the second half they were able to run the football.
So, where do you...
I thought they were the winners yesterday, didn't you? Their path, I'd rather have their path than have Oregon's path.
Their path is pretty... They got to beat Notre Dame. They're gonna have to beat Notre Dame, a home game against Notre Dame. I like that. I like them to beat Notre Dame. And then they got to beat. I mean, if the favorite teams win, then they got to beat Penn State.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
That would be the Big Ten team you'd want to play.
Now Penn State actually in defeat moved the ball pretty well against Oregon. So maybe it's a better Penn State team, but whatever. That's it's a pretty easy path for Georgia.
I'd rather have Georgia's path than Oregon's path.
100%. Oregon's going to have to play either Ohio State or Tennessee, and then presuming the best team, whatever, that then they will have to beat Texas.
Yeah.
Would you rather play, we'll say Ohio State's favored, so we'll say Ohio State. Would you rather play Ohio State and Texas or Notre Dame and Penn State?
Notre Dame and Penn State.
Yeah. Anyway, Georgia been a hell of a season, and they made it through, and won the SEC. So shout out to, the Bulldogs. Next. I guess.
Sure.
Clemson with the walk-off win. It was dramatic
as
hell.
It was great for the kid.
It was,
he's from Charlotte.
Yes.
You know, the
unbelievable.
Clemson kickers have been maligned. And
56-yard walk-off.
And drilled it.
Yes. Now, mind you, the touchdown throw to tie the game was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant with 16 seconds left. And you think you're headed to overtime.
Well, I was almost wondering, like, should they have gone for 2?
Well.
I mean, in the end, I guess it doesn't matter. The kickoff return was also big.
Yeah, 41-yard kickoff return and then a 17-yard reception gets down. And then all 3 of those things are unlikely. A 41-yard kickoff return, a 17, you only got 1 shot at it, and you complete a pass for 17 yards. He gets down, and all that does is set up a 56-yard field goal, and he drills it.
Correct.
All 3 of those things are unlikely. All 3 of those things happen. Clemson's win for Dabo, it is 8th title in the last 10 for Clemson. which given that there was a whole lot of whatever happened to Clemson, what went wrong with Clemson, obviously after Georgia took them to the woodshed earlier this year, they are in the...
They did lose three times.
Yes, and they're only in the playoff because they get an automatic bid.
Correct.
They just... Hell! The week before, they lost to South Carolina.
They're the lowest-ranked team in the field.
Yes. But they did in the end. It was certainly dramatic. And by the way, in losing in the fashion that they did, they allowed SMU to get in.
Yes.
Because had it been, at one point it was 31-14. Had it remained 31-14 or the equivalent, I'm quite confident that Alabama would be in there instead of SMU. Next. Actually, don't think we've played Oregon that much, given that they very clearly have been the best team in the land.
I think, honestly, I think the only time we played them this year was the Ohio State win.
Yeah. That's on us.
Well, they played a bunch of kind of like meh games.
Now, Penn State, 292 yards on the ground. The two picks were killer.
I don't even know what they were thinking on the last one.
I don't either. James Franklin, now it's 1-14 against top 15, top five opponents. But at least they, like, so often in these games, Penn State looks inept.
Yes.
They looked inept.
Yeah, they should fight, too. Like, oftentimes when these things start spiraling on them, they kind of lay down. They fought, and they got back in it.
Dylan Gabriel, tremendous, 22-32, 283 yards, four touchdowns. Thrown to Tez Johnson was unbelievable.
Tez
12
Johnson
targets, 11 receptions.
Every time he's on the screen, I just go, God, he's fast.
And so Oregon wins. Nice way to come to the Big Ten, you know?
I thought Gabriel was really good. To me, like, that was kind of the story. It's like,
it is interesting. Best quarterback on the best team. I mean, the quarterback on the best team in the country, and totally an afterthought in the Heisman.
Yeah.
Right? I don't even think he'll be in New York.
I don't think he'll get invited either.
No. Which is typically, quarterback on the best team in the country seems like an automatic ticket. Now, we do have two extraordinary candidates this year. Two extraordinary candidates.
That have delivered all year.
That have delivered all year on teams that overperformed as well.
Correct.
They're not the best teams, but they're teams that overperformed.
And I do think it being a 12-team playoff has helped those kind of cases because...
Because they seemed relevant.
Correct. Even though Colorado doesn't get there, they were still in it.
They were in it. So he was playing in meaningful games all year that you watched. And so therefore... Travis Hunter is going to win, and Ashton Gentry will, I presume, be the runner-up. What's next? Arizona State thumps Iowa State. Kenny Dillingham picked last. How about that? I thought, were you watching when this happened, the 4th-and-1 call? From their own 34?
Yes, the play-action pass.
That's just nuts.
Absolutely.
4th-and-1 from their own 34, trailing 7-3 in the first quarter. And they go deep for 63 yards.
Yes.
That's nuts.
Yes. When you have Cam Scatterbrough.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? It's 4th-and-1.
Maybe the second best running back in the country.
It's like, well, and he's like, okay, who's the guy that I want like on a 1-yard play? That would be him.
So shout out to Arizona State. There were a lot of great stories, though. That's what this playoff has done. You got Indiana picked 17th in the 18-team Big Ten, making it. You've got SMU picked 7th. That's my point. The goal wasn't to get the 12 best teams. It was to create interest across the land in college football. SMU picked 7th, made it. It was a great college. It's been a great year of college football. We had Vandy beating Alabama, but then Alabama's still alive, even though the gloriousness of that happened. We had Indiana. How weird of the year was this? Indiana's getting ripped for not blowing out Michigan.
Yes.
And you know, right? And then Michigan beats Ohio State.
Correct.
It just was kind of an insane, wildly entertaining year, and Arizona State, certainly with the way they've come on, was a huge part of it. Now, they are the 4 seed. They could have been the three. And it would have made a huge difference. As the four seed, they host in Atlanta. As the three, they would have been in the Fiesta.
Yeah.
So if you were saying, like, who's playing better now, you'd put Arizona State ahead of Boise.
I would.
Right? You would.
Yes.
100%. In fact, head-to-head, you'd pick Ohio State, you'd pick Arizona State, wouldn't you?
Probably. On a neutral, yeah, at this point.
But Boise's the three, Arizona State's the four. They really needed, they get the bye, though, and they needed Clemson to beat SMU, or they wouldn't have gotten the bye.
Yep.
SMU would have gotten the bye, right?
Yep.
So there you go.
There was a sizable gap between them. I think there's like eight spots.
Yeah, we could have played. We could have played a bunch of other fight songs. Boise obviously beating UNLV. Genty with another 75-yard touchdown run in that one. He ends up with 2,497 yards rushing before the bowl game. Now Barry Sanders did better, 2,628, and he did it in two fewer games, but exact same number of carries, and nobody else has really been close. He had a magnificent season. You mentioned Army taking care of Tulane. We've talked about Army's schedule and criticized Army's schedule. They sort of got the Texas path through the AAC, but in the end, they took care of Tulane, and they did it with no NIL, no portal. Damn impressive for Army to come in and do that. Anyone else you want to celebrate before we blow someone up?
No, I think we nailed it.
All right, hit it. They didn't do anything worthy of getting blown up. But we don't get this chance very often, A. And B, that's a bad year by Alabama. You shouldn't be sitting here arguing about it. It's a bad year by Alabama.
We should not
be. It's a bad year by Kansas. You should get into a 12. If it had been a 4-team playoff,
sure.
It's fine. 12-team playoff, you should be in. You're Alabama.
And the reason you didn't is because you lost to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma.
Yeah. You got. And honestly, if you'd lost by two to Oklahoma, sure, it might have been a difference. You got stomped by Oklahoma.
Scored 3 points.
Bowl games, obviously, we knew that Memphis was playing West Virginia. That's going to happen December. That's a week from today? Is that a week from today?
A
week from tomorrow. Liberty Bowl, the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Arkansas versus Texas Tech. That is December 27th. I think that's a nice Liberty Bowl, don't
I
you?
I agree. Good old-fashioned Southwest Conference.
Great for the Liberty Bowl. Now, it's I bet it'll be a sellout. The bowl is smaller.
It's a fair point.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's a fair point.
I don't think it would have sold out the old Liberty Bowl.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point.
But the Liberty Hole?
Yeah.
I think it'll sell it out. And we saw over the weekend how many people come into town because of the marathon. And I was talking to Kevin Kaner, like, what are the biggest events that bring people in? And it is kind of interesting. Like, we poo-poo the bowls now that aren't part of the 12-team playoff. Kevin Kaye was pretty clear about it. Like the events that bring the most people into Memphis to spend money in restaurants, hotels, and everything else are the Marathon and the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, and they're going to be bringing a lot of Arkansas fans in, I imagine, and a whole bunch of Texas Tech fans too. All right, we'll talk to Chris about the Grizzlies' glorious road weekend when we return. Before that, I will tell you the Frame Corner is the place to go. And this would be a good time to get in there because Christmas is coming, and you can walk in and buy a frame. A frame is a nice, like, you get a gift for someone, and then you need a few other gifts, right? And a frame is a perfect other gift. You can have a little frame that you stick on the stocking. Like, they have beautiful frames over there. But if you really want to be thoughtful for this holiday season or any time, go in for their custom framing. Have something framed beautifully. You're a Tennessee fan. You want to remember this season? Take some memorabilia from your Tennessee season and have it framed, or a collection of wedding pictures, or a piece of beautiful art, or whatever it is. They do stunning custom framing at the Frame Corner. FrameCornerMemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. We'll be back with Chris Harrington on the other side. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.